Are you caring for an aging parent? Are you searching for answers? Welcome to Senior Care Live, a program dedicated to you, providing information, education, and resources, helping you become the best caregiver you can be. I'm your host, Steve Kuecker. Right. You heard it right. Hello and welcome to a very special episode of Senior Care Live. Today, we are celebrating the fifth anniversary of the program. I could not be more proud. I'm Steve Kuecker, President of Senior Care Consulting, and just thanks for tuning in today and helping us celebrate the fifth anniversary of Senior Care Live. I'm about to fall out of my chair. I'm so excited. And if you have a question or comment, it's 1-800-331-6445. 1-800-331-6445. This is going to be an excellent program today. I promise you are going to learn a lot. But first, I just want to say thank you to our partner sponsors, Mr. Remodeler, Community First National Bank, the Neptune Society. We also have some new partner sponsors that will be joining us here in the very near future. Thank you so much for your ongoing support. Very, very much appreciated. A huge thanks to JP, our producer and engineer, right here in the studio. JP, thanks so much for your great work and helping this program to sound good and just to be consistent every week. Thanks to Mark Groves, John Stauffer, and Rich Deutsch for all of your support here at KMBZ Talk 980 AM. Thanks to my family. My family is so supportive. They're just incredible. And last but definitely not least, thank you, the listeners of the program. You have made Senior Care Live the most listened to talk radio program here on KMBZ AM Saturdays. And that's saying a lot. So thank you so very much. And again, today is our birthday. We're celebrating the fifth anniversary of Senior Care Live. And again, I'm about to jump out of my shoes. So anyway, with that, it is my pleasure to introduce a very special guest, a dear longtime friend, Mr. Bill Hammond, president and founder of KC Elder Law. I almost said the Elder Disability Law Firm, Bill. But anyway, thanks for being here today, Bill. I appreciate it.
Steve, what an honor to be here and to celebrate the fifth anniversary. And I've got to tell you, I remember when you started this.
Yep.
And you and I sat around across from each other and the microphones 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And you had a vision.
Yeah.
And the number of people that you have helped in the listening area is just amazing. So for me to be, when you said, hey, can you join me on the fifth anniversary? I'm like, oh my goodness. Absolutely. Yeah. So yeah. What an honor for me to be here. And I'm thrilled to celebrate this with you.
All right. And there's no one I'd rather have here more than you. And I was so glad you were available. So, anyway, so thanks for being here. So for our listeners, we're going to really get into elder law. You know, it's one of our core categories, elder law and estate planning. And, there's no better expert. I'm not kidding than Bill Hammond, president and founder of KC Elder Law. If you have questions, you want to reach out to Bill, one of his great team staff members there at KC Elder Law. Let me give you the phone number here, 913-338-5713. It's 913-338-5713. You can also go online, kcelderlaw.com. And KC Elder Law has offices all over the city, Overland Park, Lee Summit, and up in Kearney, Missouri. And Bill, why don't we jump in with 101? What is the difference between estate planning and elder law? Because I think a lot of people misuse the terms and interchange them, but they're very different.
Sure. And, you know, Steve, when someone goes to an attorney and they're talking about something like, hey, I want to get my estate planning done. What they're really usually saying in that instance, Steve, is, you know, I want to do a will, a trust, something like that, and I want to make sure that things go where they're supposed to go when I pass away. That would be from an estate planning situation.
Okay.
What happens to my assets when I'm gone?
All right.
That's a really, really important question, as you and I know.
Yep.
However, with the graying of America, with 8,900 baby boomers turning age 65 today.
The Silver Tsunami.
Yeah, so it's your birthday, Steve, 5 years for the show.
Yep.
And 8,900 baby boomers turning age 65 today and that's tomorrow and the next day and for the next 12 years.
Long time.
We're all getting older.
Yeah.
So in addition to that, what happens when I die, we've all got to also ask and answer the question, yeah, but what if I don't die but become sick along the way? And all of a sudden, when we're spending very large amounts of money for our care at home and assisted living or nursing care, if we don't take care of that latter question, if we don't deal with, yeah, but what happens if I don't die but become sick along the way, there might not be anything left to pass along when we're gone.
Yep.
We've got to deal with both.
And I think you refer to this, and I love the way that you lay this out. You call this the elder care journey.
Absolutely. It's so important that we all have a plan in place to make sure that no matter where we are on that elder care journey, whether we're the healthy, vigorous senior, whether we're the person who's starting to experience some memory loss or physical issues, whether we need to move into an assisted living or bring in folks at home, whether we need nursing care, we've got to be able to deal with our own version of the elder care journey as we go along.
And everyone's situation, they may have some similarities, but it's unique to each and every individual and each family. And so that leads me to my next question. Why should a family retain an elder law attorney to help them through that elder care journey?
Well, and it's a great question, Steve, and I've got to tell you, for the very reason that you talked about, you know, as we have this big listening audience out there, the number one rated weekend show in Kansas City, each and every one of our listeners either has had or will have their own version of their own elder care journey. And so we not only need to deal with, yeah, what happens when we're gone, but we've also got to deal with all those things that are going to pop up. You know, how do we take care of each other? How do we take care of our loved one? You know, what's going to happen if I get sick and need care? And an elder law or elder care attorney is uniquely qualified to help along all of those examples.
Okay. And then I don't want to throw anyone under the bus, but you hear these advertisements all the time of log on to, you know, blahblahblah.com and you can get all of your legal documents right there. You just download it. There's your printer. You sign them and you're good to go, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I see that a lot in my office.
And everywhere.
And people come. And you know what, Steve? In the very simplest of situations.
Yeah.
That actually, it's better than nothing.
Okay.
Okay.
Yep.
So, I mean, I will tell you, you know, we are a society that is becoming more and more dependent upon the internet, and there's some good information on there. It's a great starting point.
Yep.
If you have a situation that has any complication at all, then it's really important that you talk with someone who's done this before. You know, there's an old saying, when you go through a minefield, you want to follow someone who's been there before.
That's right.
This area of the law has a lot of mines, so you want to be real careful and follow a trusted guide.
That's a great analogy, because you walk through there and you're not walking with someone that knows the path to get through that safely. You're going to get blown up.
That's
you're going to get in big trouble.
That's exactly
you're
right.
You're in big trouble. Reach out to Bill Hammond and Casey Elder Law at 913-338-5713 or online at kcelderlaw.com. All right. So let's jump into power of attorney. And I think most people have heard of this. I think it's another area that's pretty misunderstood and can get complex potentially. But first of all, what is a power of attorney document?
Sure. There's a couple of different kinds, Steve. And power of attorney, one example would be a power of attorney for finances. And that's a document that basically says, if I can't make financial decisions, you know, real estate, taxes, bank accounts, at some point, then I'm appointing, you know, my spouse, my children, someone to make those decisions for me. And then there's also what we would call a healthcare power of attorney.
Okay.
And that basically says, under state law, I'll always make my own healthcare decisions, you know, doctors, hospitals, medications, those types of things. But if I can't, then I'm going to appoint my spouse, my friend, my family to make those decisions for me.
And to speak on their behalf.
Absolutely.
Okay. So we have two types. So for healthcare and for finance. Now, I think I've seen or heard of some of those documents being combined. Is that a good idea? Or is it usually better to kind of separate those two?
Yeah, so every once in a while you see someone who will combine them. Personally, I think that they are they're dealing with different types of issues, and so frequently you'll have different people handling those responsibilities. Mm-hmm. And an important point to make, Steve, is that the law says if you're over the age of 18 and if you have not given someone your power of attorney, the law says, well, you meant not to do it.
Ah.
In reality, people just don't think about it.
Yeah.
So we won't ask for a show of hands out there in the radio land, but you know who you are.
Yeah.
If you're over the age of 18 and if you have not given someone a power of attorney, the law says you meant not to do that. And that can be a real problem if something happens.
Even a spouse married to another spouse for decades?
Absolutely.
Wow.
Cannot make decisions.
People, don't wreck your car on that one, but seriously, you would just assume that, but that's not
true. I have five kids, Steve. On their 18th birthday, I brought every one of my kids into the law firm, and I did powers of attorney for them. The reason, up until the age of 18, my wife and I could make decisions for them. Once they hit 18, they were adults. We could no longer make decisions if something happened to them.
All right. Bill Hammond with KC Elder Law, 913-338-5713 or online at kcelderlaw.com. We're going to have more, but first, the Senior Care Live question of the week. With power of attorney, the person granted the power of attorney can make decisions for their loved ones while living and after their loved one passes away. Is this statement true or false? We'll have the answer right after the break. You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. For more information, call now, toll-free, 1-800-331-6445. Operators are standing by, 1-800-331-6445. I'll be right back. Welcome back. You're listening to a special episode of Senior Care Live. Today we're celebrating the fifth anniversary of Senior Care Live right here on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. For more information about the services offered on this program and how we can help you and your family, be sure to reach out on our toll-free number. You can give us a call literally 24 hours a day. That's 1-800-331-6445. 1-800-331-6445. And don't forget, you can stream this program to any electronic device. It's so easy to do. Just go to seniorcarelive.com, click on the big giant microphone right there on the homepage, or the Listen Live button. Give it a few seconds to connect, and you are in. It'll stream to your phone, your tablet, your computer, laptop, whatever you have. It really is that simple. All right, back to the Senior Care Live question of the week. With power of attorney, the person granted the power of attorney can make decisions for their loved one while living and after their loved one passes away. Is this statement true or false? And the answer is false. It is false. So, Bill, why is that false?
Steve, the law says that when someone passes away, their power of attorney passes away with them.
Okay.
Okay. So there's an important distinction that people want to make. When you do a power of attorney, you want to make sure that it's durable.
Okay.
Durable under the law means if you become incapacitated, the power of attorney remains effective.
Ah.
But once you're gone, the power of attorney, it ends.
It's gone.
That's exactly right.
So the easy way to think of that is when the person expires, so does that power of attorney.
100% correct.
And that's it. Okay. So while we're talking about and first of all, let me back up. Bill Hammond with KC Elder Law. I'll guarantee our listeners are learning so much today. If you have a question for Bill, if you're sitting here saying, well, wait a minute, we have a power of attorney document, and I'm not sure we haven't had anyone look at that for a long time. Give Bill and his great team at KC Elder Law a call. Maybe it's time for a tune-up. Maybe it's time for an update. 913-338-5713. That's 913-338-5713 or online at kcelderlaw.com. Com. So, Bill, let's talk about advance directives because, again, all of these terms are thrown around. What is an advance directive?
Sure. So when we spoke earlier, Steve, about the healthcare power of attorney, remember that's the document that says, as long as I can make my own healthcare decisions, doctors, hospitals, medications, and so on, I'll make my own healthcare decisions. But if I can't, I'm appointing a spouse, a loved one, somebody to do that. In addition to that, Steve, people frequently want to do what we call a living will.
Okay.
And that living will is the document that says, if I have an incurable illness, injury, disease, and I'm not going to get better no matter what, then I don't want to be hooked up to life support, or I do want to be hooked up, whatever your wishes are. And the combination of the healthcare power of attorney plus the living will are what we call advance directives.
That's advance directive. So it's the two pieces.
That's exactly right.
Make up the advance directive.
That's right.
Okay. All right. That makes sense. And I love the way you explain everything, because it's just totally understandable. A lot of times I'll speak with an attorney or especially physicians, and they're kind of talking over my head a little bit hard to understand. You explain everything so well, so I appreciate that.
Thank you.
So why is it important to have a power of attorney document? We touched on that a little bit earlier.
Sure. We think about it, Steve. You know, in our society, a whole lot of people over the last decade or so have put money away in IRAs and 401ks, and this is just another example.
Yep.
So people come in to see me and they say, you know, but why do I need this power of attorney? You know, my wife and I have been married for, you know, 20, 30, 40 years, whatever. And, you know, if something happens to him, then it goes to me. When a wife would say that, she's thinking if her husband passes away,
yep,
then it would go to her. She's the beneficiary.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense. What if he became incapacitated? What if he had a stroke? All of a sudden, if he has a stroke, she will need to use the power of attorney to access those funds if he can't make decisions.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, we might have the largest amount of the family's wealth in an asset that she cannot get to. And in that event, then we're going to have to go to court. We're going to have to ask a judge for access to those funds. And the court's then going to watch over how every penny is spent as long as that individual is incapacitated.
Mm.
It's a real problem. This is why for all of our listeners, everyone over the age of 18, not only themselves, their kids, their grandkids, all ought to have financial and healthcare powers of attorney in place.
And everyone assumes, oh, I've been married for 50 years. I mean, my wife knows what I want. Well, so you had a key statement earlier, which is you're stating the law. The law assumes that if you don't have a power of attorney document, you meant not to have one.
That's exactly right. And if you think about it,
Steve, ooh, that's a bad default.
Well, that's right, because look at it this way. Husband and wife, he has a stroke or something and develops Alzheimer's. He can't make decisions. She wants to sell the house.
Yeah.
Without a power of attorney, not going to be able to do it.
You're not doing it.
Without a conservatorship and get in front of the judge and all that stuff.
And that's
so,
months and thousands of dollars.
That's exactly right.
Plus, the other thing I don't like about that situation, I didn't realize, is that the court watches over how you use your own money. Yeah,
absolutely.
So it's always best to keep your business within your own family. And the way you do that is you call Bill Hammond in Casey Elder Law, and you get your legal affairs, you get in order, you get your ducks in a row there, so to speak, and take care of this so that you don't have this potential absolute nightmare. And I'll guarantee most of our listeners do not have their affairs in order, or maybe they could do a better job of it.
That's right. And Steve, if they do nothing else, if there's no other takeaway from our fifth anniversary conversation here today, powers of attorney are crucial. Make sure you get them in place for finances and healthcare.
So you mentioned someone has a stroke. So a lot of times that just, boom, it just happens.
Yep.
It's an immediate crisis. You didn't plan for it. I mean, you didn't know it was coming, and that's how strokes and heart attacks work most of the time. But what if you have a slow decline with Alzheimer's or dementia? It's so common. If someone has Alzheimer's or dementia, is it too late to authorize power of attorney?
Yeah, so that would depend, Steve. That would be a very personal situation.
Yeah.
What the law would basically say is the law would say that the individual who's giving the power of attorney would have to have what we would call an interval of lucidity. They have to have the ability to understand what they're doing and to appoint someone to make decisions for them. Now, if you ask me exactly at what point that is, yeah. I can't give you a blanket answer. Lots of folks with dementia or Alzheimer's or, you know, various diseases like that
yep.
still have points during the progression of that disease, their elder care journey, where they can still do it. At some point, they can't.
Yep.
And so that's why it's crucial to get these things in place while you still can.
So if you or your loved one has Alzheimer's or dementia or another issue that has led to cognitive impairment, and you know that this is not going to improve, this is going to decline, I would move like today, like right now, move forward and get these foundational documents in place.
And I think maybe, and you're exactly right, Steve, and I think another way to say that, if the family is having conversations.
Ah, there, yeah.
If they are.
It's a concern.
That's right. If they're quietly discussing things, what's going on with my spouse, what's going on with mom or dad, and the family's talking about it to where it's a concern, then it's certainly time to act and make sure you get these things done.
Absolutely. Bill Hammond with KC Elder Law, 913-338-5713 or online at kcelderlaw.com. We're going to have a whole lot more right after the break. Don't go away on this special fifth anniversary episode of Senior Care Live. We'll be right back. You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. For more information, call now, toll free, 1-800-331-6445. Operators are standing by, 1-800-331-6445. I'll be right back. Welcome back. You're listening to a very special episode of Senior Care Live. It's the fifth anniversary of Senior Care Live right here on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. For more information about the services offered on this program and how we can help you and your family, be sure to call us on our toll-free number at any time. That's 1-800-331-6445. Again, 1-800-331-6445. And don't forget, if you ever miss an episode of Senior Care Live, maybe you want to share the program with someone else, or heck, maybe you just want to go back and listen to it again, because we do cover a lot of ground here on the program. It's so easy to do. Just go to SeniorCareLive.com, click on the podcast tab, and that is where you will find all of the previously aired episodes. It is just as easy as that. My special guest today, again, on the fifth anniversary of Senior Care Live, Mr. Bill Hammond, a personal, longtime dear friend of mine. He's the president and founder of KC Elder Law. He can be reached at 913-338-5713 or online at kcelderlaw.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, your attention please. This is a consumer alert. Consumer alert.
All right. Bill, we're going to need your help dispelling some commonly held beliefs out there. And I hear this so much. I know you hear it just as much and probably a whole lot more than I do. But we'll just go through a few things. And so for our listeners, if you hear this, we're just going to correct some of these statements here. So how many times, Bill, have you heard, or maybe through one of your clients and through my clients as well, well, you have to sign your house over to the nursing home before you can get Medicaid. It's just simply not true.
Sure. Well, and Steve, it doesn't surprise me.
Yeah.
A federal court one time called the Medicaid rules a Serbonian bog.
Oh, my.
I'm not sure exactly what that is.
I'm not sure either.
But I know it's not good.
Serbonian bog.
A Serbonian bog. It's really complicated. Okay. And so when I hear these things, I just, you know, I understand. I shake my head and I say, okay, not an issue. Here's what really, the way it really works. If someone needs nursing care, the state's going to look at their assets. They're going to say, don't count the house, the car, the prepaid funerals, a little bit of life insurance and household goods. And they say, spend the rest of it down.
Yeah.
You absolutely do not need to sign over your house to anyone, nursing home, state, anyone. The home is exempt at least for a while. So we don't worry about that at this point.
And if you think about it, what business is the nursing home in? It's to provide care to elderly individuals and to provide care for. They're not in the real estate business. They don't want your house.
Right. That's exactly right. And so,
just set it aside.
Yeah.
You do not have to sign, nor should you sign your house over to anyone.
That's right. All right. The next one, and this is a huge one. I literally heard it this last week. If the individual lives in Missouri and they want to live in a nursing home in Kansas, they cannot do that because they have to establish residency in the state of Kansas for at least 3 months before they can get Medicaid. Is that true?
Well, it's another one of those, Steve, where we first have to ask, first of all, at its core, you have to be a Kansas resident to qualify for Kansas Medicaid,
right?
Or vice versa. So how do you become a Kansas resident if you lived in Missouri? The answer is that the law says that residence is physical presence plus an intent to remain. So if someone was a lifelong Missouri resident, husband and wife, he goes into a Kansas nursing home, for instance. If he's physically present in Kansas and intends to remain for a time, he can become a Kansas resident at that point. There is no magical, 90-day requirement.
Okay. Day one. Okay. So I hope that is extremely clear. I hope that there are lots of folks out there that are like, oh, I didn't realize that. Well, I guarantee a lot of people just learned something because there are lots of assumptions. If you didn't know the law and you just quoted it, that would be a reasonable thing to assume. Oh, you have to be a Kansas resident.
Right. And you hear that and you think, so how are we going to show residence? And technically, legally, day one, practically, it might be a little bit of a longer process. Yep. You want to get good counsel on this.
Yes, absolutely. And that's why you call Bill Hammond with KC Elder Law. I'm just telling you, because Bill knows what he's talking about. Trust me. And then the last one that we'll just touch on today as far as the consumer alert, and I've been hearing this more and more as well. You must use your entire spend out amount to pay the nursing home care, and you can't use it for anything else. Is that true?
Well, that's been a long time red herring, Steve.
Yeah.
And so I've been doing this for nearly 25 years.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was hearing it back then. I was hearing it the first time you and I ever sat behind a microphone.
Yeah.
And I hear it all the time, too. And the answer is quite simply, that's not accurate.
It's just not accurate.
It's not true.
It's not the law.
No. You have a married couple, and they could go through that spend down process. And just so our listeners know what that means, it means getting their assets to a point where they are eligible for Medicaid, and anything that benefits either spouse is a perfectly appropriate spend down amount. You have to be careful. You can't give it away, or you have to be very careful how you do that.
Yep.
Other than that, spending it for the benefit of the one who needs care or his or her spouse, absolutely appropriate.
There you go. So hopefully in this consumer alert, you've learned something. And look, if you're out in the market and you hear some of these things, just understand that it's just literally not true. And then that's where I would advise you to seek expert counsel and guidance to correct any of these, any of this misinformation. It's just as simple as that.
Proceed with caution. This has been a consumer alert brought to you by Senior Care Live.
All right, Bill Hammond with KC Elder Law, 913-338-5713, or online at kcelderlaw.com. KC Elder Law has offices in Overland Park, Lee Summit, and then North Kearney, Missouri. So just choose the office that works best for you, and it's just as simple as that. Reach out to Bill, and he has an excellent team. There are none better, I'll just tell you that. 913-338-5713. All right, Bill. So let's get into another area that I know you work with a lot, and that is a will versus a trust. And again, I think there's a lot of misunderstanding out there. So what is the difference between a will and a trust? Obviously, it sounds important that you should have one, but what are the differences?
Sure. So first of all, one of the things that people want to do, and we talked about this very early on, Steve, they want to have their estate plan in place.
Yep.
That could be through a will. It could be through a trust. That's a set of directions that tells what's going to happen when you've passed away. Here's the big difference. Most of my clients, I would venture to say most of our listeners, Steve, don't want to have their assets go through probate. They're not exactly sure what probate is. It's kind of like that Serbonian bog we talked about earlier. But here's what they know for sure. They know for sure, Steve, they don't want their assets going through probate.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right.
Anything that goes through a will goes through probate.
Okay.
Okay. Whereas if a trust is set up appropriately, then things going through the trust are not going to go through probate in most instances.
So you can have your assets in a trust that flow to the people you want them to go to, and you avoid probate altogether. So a trust is kind of a substitute for a will.
Can be. Yeah, yeah. And it gets a little complicated, and yeah, we won't go deep
right
into it. But
yep,
anytime you do a trust, you typically would also do a pour over, P-O-U-R, pour over will, and just say, hey, if I forgot to put something in my trust, pour it in so it goes where it's supposed to. But again, anything that goes through a will gets probated. So set up a trust if that's appropriate.
Yep.
And then just make sure your assets are titled appropriately so they won't go through probate.
So if someone contacts you, is that something you could kind of guide them through, whether a will is appropriate or a trust? And if so, and I know, and it's too big of a discussion today, there are lots of different types of trust and revocable and irrevocable,
right,
all this stuff that
yep
no one understands except for you. but that's something that you could help kind of walk someone through and guide them through and
absolutely
set that up for them.
Absolutely. And there's a whole lot of really smart elder law attorneys out there, Steve.
Yeah.
And I would tell you that, you know, get good expert advice, and they'll be able to help you make sure they get a plan set up that's right for your situation.
All right, 913-338-5713 or online kcelderlaw.com. And Bill, we just have about a minute and a half left, and then I want to get into a kind of a big subject in our last final segment. But tell us about your workshops.
Yeah.
Because you do workshops just about every week.
Well, we do, Steve.
Yeah.
And what we love to educate the public. And so I personally do a couple of a month. My other attorneys do a couple a month. And it gives us a good opportunity to stand up in front of the community and tell them what's going on and to really dig into things on a good educational basis. And we cover all the types of topics that you and I have been discussing on this fifth anniversary show and a whole lot more.
Yep.
And the other nice thing is that it then also gives our audience members who are participating the ability to ask questions on the spot.
Yeah.
And then we get to answer those questions. And people go home thinking like they've had a good opportunity to really dig into things a little bit and see what's going on and get all their questions answered.
Who should attend one of your workshops?
Yeah, anybody who is trying to figure out, you know, how do I set things up to make sure that they're taken care of if I die? What if I don't die but become sick along the way?
Mm-hmm.
What if I've got a parent or a spouse who's starting to have some memory issues, some difficulty getting around those types of things? And maybe even, are there other benefits available? Medicaid, VA, all those types of things. Long-term care insurance.
This is a really comprehensive workshop.
We cover all that and more.
And is there a cost to attend?
Nope.
So it's free of charge?
Free of charge.
So how can someone sign up? They just give you a call
at the office? Give us a call at the office or go on to our website, and you can look and find the next workshop, and we'd be happy to have you attend. I will say, you need to sign up ahead of time because we get pretty busy.
Absolutely. All right, sign up for a workshop. We're going to cut it off right there. We'll have a whole lot more right after the break. You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. For more information, call now, toll free, 1-800-331-6445. Operators are standing by, 1-800-331-6445. I'll be right back. Welcome back. You're listening to a very special episode of Senior Care Live, where we're celebrating the fifth anniversary of Senior Care Live right here on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. For more information about the services offered on this program and how you can reach out to us and just ask questions, get information, maybe we can help you and your family, here's the phone number. It's 1-800-331-6445. Again, 1-800-331-6445. Back to my special guest today, Mr. Bill Hammond, founder and president of KC Elder Law. You want to reach out to Bill and his excellent team. It's 913-338-5713 or online at kcelderlaw.com. All right, so Bill, we've covered a lot of ground today. I saved maybe the biggest one for last, so we could talk maybe 5 hours on this, and we've got about 7 minutes. But time flies when you're having fun. But
no pressure, Steve.
Yeah. But I know many, many families come to KC Elder Law. Maybe they have a spouse or an individual who needs nursing home care. It's $6,000, $7,000 a month. Easily it could be more than that. And they're looking to find out about Medicaid and if they can qualify and if they can maybe protect some of their assets. And that's, I just wonder if you could maybe expound on that and how you're able to help so many families do that.
Well, yeah, thank you, Stephen. The first thing we would always do is, first thing I would want to try to do is what we would call pre-planning.
Okay.
So if we have someone who's in a situation where we can set things up so that they can, get long-term care insurance, have their own ability to pay, then we don't have to worry about the Medicaid side of things.
Yep.
That's always a good idea. But then I have a lot of people who come in and they can no longer qualify for long-term care. They can't afford it, those types of things. And all of a sudden, they're facing a crisis.
Mm.
And as you just mentioned, you know, the cost of nursing care in our area, $6,000, $7,000 a month or more, all of a sudden, someone spending $80,000, $85,000 a year, who can afford that?
Yeah.
So what happens is then they look to the Medicaid system. And what the state says, look at your assets. Don't count the house, the car, the prepaid funeral, a little bit of life insurance, household goods. And then the state basically says, spend everything down to $2,000 in Kansas, now $3,000 in Missouri. And at that point, you'd be eligible for Medicaid. Okay. For a married couple, they go through a process, Steve, called division of assets.
Mm-hmm.
People hear that and they think, well, you know, I was told that if my spouse needs nursing care, I've got to spend it all down to $2,000 or $3,000. I'm going to be broke. I'm going to be impoverished.
Yep.
Actually, the law has protections. And the law says there are things you can do to protect the assets for a married couple so that the at-home spouse, the one who doesn't need care, can have at least $120,000, but sometimes a whole lot more.
Yep.
Okay. And it's not something that's new. The problem is people just don't know much about it. Back in 1988, Steve, under the Medicare Catastrophic Act, Congress put this into the law, and it's frequently possible to save, as you know, several hundred thousand dollars for the benefit of the at-home spouse, so that in many instances, if she has been the caregiver, let's say, and if she'd been caring for her husband, he needs care, and all of a sudden they've got to spend those assets down. If he passes away first, is she going to have enough to live on? The answer is, if you get good advice, absolutely. There are things that you can do to protect that.
Absolutely. And so this is why it is so, so important to contact an elder law firm to walk through this. This one gets complicated in a hurry. You're dividing assets. There are different laws in the state of Kansas versus Missouri. And this one is over most people's head right there.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, the law also encourages people to take certain steps. For instance, there's what we call a caretaker child exemption.
Mm-hmm.
And what that says is, it says if we have an adult child who's been living in mom and or dad's house and been caring for mom or dad and been doing that for a couple of years, keeping them out of a nursing home, then the law says that the child can be rewarded by actually giving the house to that child.
Wow.
Without any penalty.
Guaranteed. The vast majority of our public, they do not know that.
Yeah. And in addition, Steve, if you have a child with a disability, okay, then frequently assets can be given to that child or put in a trust for the benefit of that child, again, with no penalty.
Wow.
So there are things that can be done.
That is amazing. This is why I keep saying, reach out to Bill Hammond. You may have a situation right now where you can be gifted a home, or you can pass assets to a disabled child. You may be sitting on that situation and literally just now discovering, oh my gosh, you're kidding. Reach out to Bill Hammond and KC Elder Law. They'll walk you right through it. They'll take care of it. It'll be incredible. 913-338-5713 or online at kcelderlaw.com. And, Bill, what about, Gosh, we only have about 3 minutes left. Yeah, so, Kansas and Missouri.
Well, so Steve, I promise you, there are people in our listening audience today, and there are spouses who are struggling to keep their loved one at home because they are so fearful that if they place their loved one in a care center and all of a sudden they're spending this $80,000 a year or more, they're going to be impoverished, and they don't think there's any way around this. And so it's not uncommon, and I hate to say it, Steve, but you've seen it too.
Yep.
They literally caregive themselves to death.
Yep.
If someone gets good advice, there are frequently ways to save way more than you would believe. Get your loved one the care he or she needs. Make sure that you have enough as the at-home spouse to be able to live the rest of your life without having to move out of your neighborhood. Okay? There are things that can be done. We see it all the time. This is a case where ignorance is not bliss.
That's right.
Get some help.
Absolutely. And sometimes someone in Kansas, maybe it's better to do a placement in Missouri. Many times someone in Missouri, maybe it's better to do a placement in Kansas. Sure. Sometimes it's driven by this asset protection strategy that may be a perfect fit for them.
And you're exactly right. And it's one of the things that, you know, a lot of people need to understand. The laws can be different. Medicaid is a great big federal program, but there are state to state differences. In one state, Kansas, for instance, the IRA 401k of the at-home well spouse doesn't count for Medicaid purposes in most instances. Other times, people have a lot of rental property, real estate, those types of things. Real estate might be easier to deal with in one of the states. It's simply important that you talk to someone who understands both set of state rules so you can know where you're going to get the best care for your loved one and also make sure that you yourself are protected.
And a lot of times, if you think about it, you know, the income of your spouse's income goes with them to the nursing home, but there may be an opportunity to save part of that income to get the community spouse up to at least some sort of a minimum to minimize that damage.
That's exactly right. And the law gives some pretty good protections for people who get good advice and make sure that they take full advantage of what the law say. And this is a situation, Steve, where frankly, the law spells it out. The problem is that it's tricky, it's challenging. As long as you get good advice, my experience is that in most cases, people can be in a situation where they get total peace of mind once they get a plan in place. So if someone is struggling with that, talk to someone who understands these rules. You'll feel a whole lot better having a plan in place.
Absolutely. I could not agree more. Mr. Bill Hammond, president and founder of KC Elder Law. Bill, thanks so much for being here today. It's been a blast. We blinked and the hour is gone, but thanks for being here.
What an honor to share this 5th year anniversary with you, Steve. You've done amazing stuff for the community.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And to our listeners again, thank you so much. I'm your host, Steve Kuecker, and I wish you grace and peace. May God bless you and your family on this day and always. I'll see you next week. And I'll tell you what, it's the 6th year next week. I can't believe it. See you next week right here on Senior Care Live.